Got kids. We know how this goes.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Yes, I believe Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Before we get going, I want to remind you that you can join NBA draft goat Chad Ford, Locked On NBA draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales live this year covering the NBA draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. We're like local experts, Andy. Yes. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th, 4 p.m. Pacific. Again, you see us if you watch that broadcast. All right. So, Andy, we're like what? Like 2 days away from the draft or whatever it is, and a week away from free agency. And the Lakers have been linked to Russell Westbrook and Buddy Hield and DeMar DeRozan. And
Kyle Lowry. It would be much easier just to list out the people they have not been linked to, which is nobody. They have not been unlinked to a single player in the league, which means there's a lot to break down.
Right. And so here to explain how the Lakers are going to get all of those people and make it work under the rules, Eric Pincus, one of our favorite people, Eric Pincus. He's a capologist. He's an analyst. He's a writer at Bleacher Report and Basketball Insiders. He is an instructor. This is how good he is at this stuff. He's an instructor of the Sports Business Classroom. And you can go and you can sign up for that if you want to learn how to do what Eric Pincus does. He is joining us now and will help us get ready for all of the stuff that I just mentioned, free agency and the draft. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to see you, gentlemen. I look forward to some semblance of normalcy when we get back to this next season. It's great to see you guys. We've known each other forever, so happy to chop it up. Let's go. Let's do it.
Eric, don't order us around.
we'll chop it up when we're damn ready for it. We're not going to do it on your timeline. We're doing it on ours.
That's fair.
And now our timeline begins.
Yeah. Andy, okay. Are you ready now? You ready to chop it up? Okay, let's do it. All right. Anyway, that's www.sportsbusinessclassroom.com, by the way, to go learn at the feet of Eric Pincus. he actually does make you sit right by his feet, and he lectures down to you. But the information is great.
Broadly speaking, though, with the Lakers, they're in a place right now where, for the time being, and correct me if any of this is not either up to date or accurate, but they're currently only able to work with the tax or likely to have the taxpayer mid-level exception, which would be a shade under $6 million. And their cap situation will make sign-in trades or certainly certain type of sign-in trades complicated for them to do. Can you talk about just sort of the flexibility issues that they're going to have, and specifically the issues they're going to have with sign and trades?
So at some point the league changed the rules where if you sign and trade a player in, that you'll have a hard cap. And so the general idea is that the league doesn't want spending to go too outrageous. And a lot of people who are Laker fans will say, oh, because the Lakers did this. It actually, I think, really stemmed from what the Nets were doing. When they did the KG Paul Pierce team, and everybody was spending here and the Nets were spending way up here, and there was a tax, but it wasn't punitive enough. So then they made it like a progressive tax, and they made it so that the penalties were richer, but then they still, it didn't feel like enough still. So they put in what was called a hard cap, and the NBA has a soft cap, which means if you have the ability, you can pay up to whatever you want. There's a practical limit, but you know, you can't just pay anybody anything. You have to have their rights, but you have these exceptions, and the big exception is about $10 million, just a shade under that. But that triggers a hard cap. And so if they want to compete with all the other teams that don't have cap room, all those teams either have $10 million but a hard cap, or about $6 million and no hard cap. So that kind of goes to what you were what you were saying, Andy, about like the difference between the exceptions. They can spend that $10 million exception, and again, estimate, you know, rounding, but now they're locked in at about $143 million for the next season with a hard cap. And if they were to sign and trade and acquire a player via sign and trade, so let's just Kyle Lowry is a good example, right? He's a free agent. The only way to get him is to get him either for $6 million, which is way below what he wants. I've heard he wants $30 million, which is a lot.
Hold on, let me make sure that's less.
Right. So if you had $10 million, which is not enough, and he accepted it, then you would have a hard spending limit. All your entire team can't be more than $143 million, right? And it fluctuates every year, those numbers, but these are estimates. But let's say it's 143. You sign and trade a player in, like Lowry, hard cap, or if you use what's called your biennial exception. In the case of the Lakers, they used it last year on Wes Matthews, and so they don't have it this year, so that's not part of the conversation. So for the Lakers, there are two triggers. For everybody else with the biennial, there's three. And if they get this hard cap, there's nothing you can do about it. And we saw the impact of that hard cap because they did have a hard cap this season. They had it by paying Trez and by paying Matthews. And so for a long time, the Lakers had 14 players and didn't go to a 15th player. And there were trades that they couldn't make because they couldn't add salary. So it's limiting. It's not necessarily bad. It's not something to be afraid of, but it can be seriously problematic. And if you want to go and pay Talen Horton Tucker, who's a free agent, and Alex Caruso, who's a free agent, and Dennis Schroeder, who's a free agent, and Andre Drummond, who's a free agent, the most you can pay him, you don't have his rights. The most you can pay him is the $10 million mid-level exception, the bigger one, but now you've got this hard cap, mm-hmm. and you're at above 143. So that's the issue for the Lakers. They're not, you're paying LeBron and AD so much. You're paying Kuzma, you're paying Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and if you want to bring in a $10 million player and keep all those guys very quickly, you're in an illegal spot. So really, yes, like from a bear point of view, with no trades, they have $6 million to offer. When you get into the more creative side, then we can start talking about trades and how they can bring in players other ways.
Let's do that in a second, though, because there's so much that, you know, Andy alluded to it, and you kind of alluded to it, Eric, too, about you want to pay Alex Caruso, and you want to pay THT, and you want to pay maybe Dennis Schroeder. So much of this is built around their market value and what people think their value is around the league, and Schroeder is a particularly interesting test case for that. So we have a bunch of questions that we want to ask you, some questions that our listeners have sent in specifically to ask you, Eric, and we'll do all that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models out there, it is impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. And why would you spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same parts at a chain auto store or new dealership anyway, where you can get it for far less at rockauto.com? For example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store. I don't know what a fuel pump is, but I am damn sure that is way, way too expensive. You know why? Because you can get the same thing at Rock Auto for $216. It's a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Whether it's for your classic driver or whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com. Right now, see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear Us box so they know we sent you. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
So, Eric, when you look at some of the assets that the Lakers have, you know, Andy and I were joking about this on Monday's episode, you know, the report over the weekend that the Lakers have offered KCP and Kyle Kuzma basically to everyone in the league in every trade that they have. And people are like, oh my God. Well, it's because those are the only guys you really can offer anybody right now. These right. are the only people they have.
Not even that they want to get rid of them. If they want to make a move, they kind of have no choice but to get rid of them right now.
When you look at the landscape for what the Lakers kind of could get coming in and what these guys might get on the market, like, what does it look like for Alex Caruso, for THT, for all this? Because, yeah, you've written extensively, you know, talked extensively on your YouTube channel about Talen Horton Tucker. There's been so much interest in him. You know, can the Lakers bring all of these guys back if they want, you know, realistically based on what other teams might throw at them?
Right. So there's a lot to it. It's a lot to unpack. So the one player that's a real issue is Andre Drummond, because they signed him midseason. They only have his non-bird rights. They can't pay him market value. Whatever market value is for him, even if it's 5, 10, 20, whatever the money is, they have to use an exception. They don't have the ability to pay him. But they can pay Dennis. They have his rights. They can pay THT. There's a limit, and I have a video pinned to my Twitter handle at Eric Pincus that breaks down the Arenas rule, which we won't have to get into, but watch the video. And there's a limit to what other teams can offer Talen Horton-Tucker. So really, the Lakers are in the driver's seat when it comes to keeping him. And also, he's with Rich Paul and Clutch Sports and LeBron. So you're fine there. Montrezl Harrell is another piece that they can offer in trade, and it's contingent on him opting in.
Do you get a sense, Eric, really quick, because in a piece you recently wrote, you had mentioned that some of the intel that you were hearing was leaning towards Harrell opting in. He put out a fair amount of feelers that he was not happy with his situation with the team, especially down the stretch, but there could be reasons for him to opt in just economically. He might not have the same opportunities. Do you get any sense that the opting in could be with the idea of looking to move him? And if so, do you get any sense of the teams that could be a potential option
right.
for him?
Right. I do think that for Montrez, so the problem with Montrezl Harrell, and it's not really fair, but he is about 6'8" and is a center in this league. And he's probably not a starter. He might disagree with you, but I don't think other teams around the league perceive him as that. But he is a valuable offensive player. A year ago, before the season, sixth man of the year. And what he does extremely well. He's very passionate and plays hard. And it's hard not – his passion is very infectious. I think he's an asset for a lot of teams. But very few teams have cap room each year. Each year, it's a whole battle to – between the best free agents to get that kind of money. And how many of the teams that have cap room need a center? And the answer is maybe three, depending on what the Raptors want to do, depending on what the Knicks want to do. Do they just want to pay Noel and Robinson to stay, put their money elsewhere? The one team that 100% needs a starting center is Charlotte, but they're also negotiating with other teams. Like, they're talking to Indiana about Miles Turner, I believe, and this isn't confirmed, that they're looking at Kristaps Porzingis. Please don't aggregate that and put my name on it. Not you
too. Too late.
Yeah.
Sorry, I should have really said that earlier.
Whatever. It is what it is. Like, people aggregate anything and everything. So it is what it is. But like the Mavericks are looking at what the market is for Porzingis. I don't know if they're going to move him, but everyone's looking at the market for everything. And I know that the Hornets need a center badly. So I think Porzingis could end up there, or Turner. And so if that's the case, and we're bringing it back to Trez, like, if the one team that really needs a starting center goes and trades for one, or let's say they go for Andre Drummond, or if they go for Rashawn Holmes, who for whatever reason, the Kings can't really pay him because of a similar reason why the Lakers can't pay Drummond, different but similar. You just might not have an opportunity, and it's really hard to get cap room from a team for a reserve, like where they're spending more than the 9.5. So if he's looking at 9.5 million, which is the mid-level, let's round up to 10. If he's looking for 10 from someone else, well, he's already got 10 from the Lakers. So the advantage is that if he's getting paid 10 from the Lakers, and the Lakers have a great relationship with Clutch and Rich Paul, which they do, and they reroute him to a team that really values him. Now, after this season, he'll have his early bird rights, which will pay him up to almost like 175%. So, like, let's say 17 million. So, if he can get 17 million next year without cap room, now he doesn't have to go back to that cycle, which he's been in for 3 or 4 years, like with the Rockets, with the Clippers, now with the Lakers, of constantly trying to get a team to pay him. He'll be able to be paid by that team. And so I'm not saying he'll get 17 million, but so I think that him opting in would be a business decision. And the Lakers, given that they don't have a lot of salary to trade out, they only have really KCP and Kuzma with little Gasol and McKinney, like adding 10 million. If you go KCP, Kuzma, Harrell, you can get to any player in the entire NBA. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think Trez being traded is a very feasible, reasonable thing. I think that's probably what the Lakers are doing when they're shopping for all those names.
Right. The other guy, and so you know, not surprising, and I'm sure you answer 30 or 40 questions a day about Dennis Schroeder, but when we put out the, you know, the call for questions to the listeners with you coming on, we got a ton of stuff about Schroeder. Right. This one, for example, from Lakers Kingdom, when it comes to Dennis sign and trade, I feel like a lot of Lakers fans think it's going to be Dennis plus stuff for a really big player. I think most realistic scenario is Dennis for another team's stuff, meaning just like whatever they have handy, and you're not going to get something great. Am I right on this? Is it likely we get one big, great player out of a Dennis sign and trade? Another one, this one from Will Powell. Is it likely that the Lakers find a suitor for a Schroeder sign and trade? And if so, what kind of player would likely be coming back the other way? Is Schroeder a desirable commodity? That really that's really the essence of all of these questions that Lakers fans have. Is Dennis Schroeder a desirable commodity, and how, you know, and therefore how likely is it that the Lakers can come up with a sign and trade scenario that works for everyone?
All right. So the one of the responses, I think, to the tweet question you put out was like something along the lines of like me pouring cold water on everybody's, like, you know, questions.
Yeah.
This is probably that moment. So like the most likely, if we're going with what's likely, is that Dennis signs with another team and leaves and doesn't sign and trade at all. Like, why would he? What is the advantage to him? What does he get out of that? The answer is he doesn't get anything unless he can't get to his destination without it. That's what we don't know. That's what the Lakers can't know. That's what Dennis can't know legally, because no one can negotiate these things ahead of time.
I think we know illegally, though, Eric.
However,
what if you just do the whole negotiation in German? Is that get around some of these tampering rules?
It does not. Okay. You know what's funny is, though, is that like players of a foreign nationality who come to the NBA tend to speak more openly when they do interviews in their original language.
Yeah, that's how we learned Schroeder wants $120 million.
As if translators don't exist.
Speaking all willy-nilly in German.
Rules apply still, whether you say it in German or English.
He wants the Tasche, Eric. That's German for the bag.
All right. Well, this is my approach to it, which started pretty much after the trade deadline, is to start to map out the next season and to see, okay, where are we going from here? And you come up with a list of players by position. And what's really odd is that there are more ball handling guards in free agency than really any position this offseason, which is strange. There are very few wings, and there are a lot of like Enes Kanter type bigs who are good, but not like, you know, like elite big. There's no Embiid out there, right? But as far as guards, there's a ton. And so how many teams have the money and who's going where? So if, let's say that Chris Paul stays in Phoenix or goes to New York, and okay, fine. If you want to say maybe LeBron convinces him to come and he comes to the Lakers, that's mathematically possible. I think I wrote about it recently.
Eric, we've already talked about how the obvious plan is just LeBron pays him under the table.
Right. Of course.
He's got the money to do this. Like, let's... Right. Stop kidding around.
I'm having trouble figuring out where the market is for Schroeder. And then, we'll move on after this. But like, that's what I think is so interesting about this, is that there is a number where at the point at which you're like, wait a minute, I realize he left a bad taste in people's mouths at the end of the playoffs and,
right,
you know, the little tension, whatever, but he's too good not to sign $14 million or whatever.
Speaking of that, though, Eric, because we're gonna break and then come back. But I have a question that I want to ask, though, with the Lakers and Schroeder. And I know you've been, you know, putting out a lot of feelers, trying to, you know, get an idea of the landscape. But this is, I think, it is much to do with how both teams would view it as just how the rest of the league would. So want to get into that coming up next. But first, Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at Bet Online. This week, tons of sports action on the go. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, UFC, MMA. The draft is coming up. And if you wanted to try to bet specifically on the Lakers selection, I have a little bit of fun with that. The line on Jaden Springer is set at 22.5 for the over-under, who we, by the way, have scouted before on our podcast. We're going to be talking later in the week about these guys as well. You can also find Chris Duarte at 17.5 for the over-under, Cam Thomas at 23.5. So can have a little bit of fun heading to the draft. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop, your mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore because this is your chance to get into the game. Head to the website, use your mobile device, sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code Locked On. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, so Eric, in terms of just what ends up happening with the Lakers and Schroeder, from the people you've been talking with, do you get a sense that the Lakers truly want Schroeder back or are more resigned to the idea that they need him to come back? Like all things being equal, what sense do you get of what they want from the relationship and also what Schroeder wants from this relationship moving forward?
Well, I mean, Schroeder wants to get paid, so the relationship is with whoever's paying him. You know what I mean? And I don't begrudge him that.
No.
You know, like, careers are short. Yeah. You only have a small window. Like, the Lakers have been around since before Schroeder was born, and they'll be around for a very long time. So I don't – but you know, from the Lakers' point of view, not having Schroeder and not having the means to replace him isn't appealing either.
Sure. The reason I ask is just, I mean, because
well, there's, right. There's a difference between wanting a guy to come back. Like, well, they want THD to come back. They want Caruso to come back.
Right.
But they may just sort of need Schroeder to come and back.
Especially, too, because they've been linked to so many point guards that it makes you wonder how much in a perfect world they want to continue this thing with Schroeder versus recognizing or having, you know, those the imperfect world slap him in the face. Well,
so they can go in, like, if they go in the direction of paying a player with their mid-level exception or signing and trading for a player, then they have a hard cap. And so if you go and do a sign and trade for, say, Spencer Dinwiddie, who's been linked to the Lakers, or whatever, you Lonzo Ball or Chris Paul, or like, you, it's really hard to make those deals unless you're paying them like $15-10 million. You might be able to get away with like a $10 million mid-level, but that's not why Spencer Dinwiddie is opting out, right? To get $10 million. He's opting out to get $20 million, right? So the challenge is they don't really have the money unless someone comes for cheap. Now, would DeMar DeRozan come for $10 million? He might. Like, he's made a ton of money. He's been really highly paid. But that's not a point guard, and that's not the solution. And that also locks in a hard cap. And can they get a point guard? So when we get back to Schroeder in that mix, like, you can pay him whatever. There is no hard cap paying Schroeder. So there's the advantage, right?
Right.
Now, you can, if you let him walk and leave and you get nothing, then, and you can't replace him easily, maybe you're better off signing him and then trading him down the road. Probably, you probably couldn't trade him till after January and, or maybe even after a year. But what I do think is happening right now. So, like, when you start as a team with the offseason, you start with all your, like, you know, your wish list. You don't start at like, nothing's going to work. You start at like, who do we really want? So we've heard all the names. We've heard, you know, can they get Damian Lillard? Probably not. Can they get Russell Westbrook? Maybe. It's if the Wizards are deciding to move him, then it's a definite
they?
Maybe.
Should they? I mean, I think, you know.
Well, that's a different question.
Yes.
Russell Westbrook is a better player, in my opinion, than Dennis Schroeder. I think he helps this team win more games and do better in the playoffs. And if you want to point at me at analytics or inefficiencies in his game, I will acknowledge that there are inefficiencies in his game. However, Kobe was not the most efficient basketball player. You know what I mean? Like, there is a point where you just need the best players.
Sure, but the difference, though, is that everything was built around Kobe. In the case of Westbrook, you would have an inefficient player who everything isn't built around in a lot of ways to get the best out of him alongside LeBron, alongside AD, you need him to be a more efficient player.
Right. But I also think that when you have LeBron when LeBron is not playing, now you have someone who can carry your offense inefficiently is better than what the Lakers have been doing, which is inefficient also.
Well, it's been non-existent.
Exactly. So Westbrook can't make the LeBron.
Inefficient would have been a step up.
Yeah, he can't make the non-LeBron lineups worse. And then with LeBron, he's not the shooter you would want to spread the floor around LeBron. But we saw with Rondo and we saw with Schroeder when in that last game before AD went down, you saw the magic of what this Lakers team was, which is you have a guard in who's willing to attack, who isn't worried about just giving the ball to LeBron and getting out of the way. And so now LeBron has an easy game where he can play off the ball and the whole defense can't load up against him. He doesn't have to. That once everyone got hurt, it was like five guys in the paint and LeBron having to drive through them. Can he do that? Yeah, he can get some fouls, but that's not how you want him to go out. He's going to get hurt if that's what he's doing night in, night out. And Russell Westbrook completely solves that in a way that Rondo solved it, right? Like Rondo was inefficient. Really though,
because if you have, and you still have five, you're just still walling off the paint and making Westbrook do something else out there.
Right.
But I just disagree with it. Really hard to deal with. I think DeRozan does a lot of the same stuff with the second unit. I mean, look, Westbrook is a great player. And like, I'm not saying I'm not saying they'd be terrible with Russell Westbrook. That's not my point. But there was a cost benefit with everything.
Right.
And I think actually you accomplish a lot of the same stuff in terms of orchestrating with the second unit. I mean, DeRozan's been a de facto point guard in a lot of ways for the last couple of years. Not like Westbrook, but a guy who can certainly run an offense and carry an offense while LeBron's not on the floor.
But in the San Antonio offense, which I think is more egalitarian and brings out the best in him, but also wasn't like a very good team. So I get it, and I can understand why people don't like Russell Westbrook on the Lakers. I personally think it's going to be a lot better if it were to happen. I think it would be a lot better than people would think. I thought it worked well, like in the Rockets, it worked well until it got to the playoffs when they traded away Capella. Like there were a lot more issues in Houston.
That leads, and by the way, this was not the discussion that I was expecting to have, but it's really interesting. I'm glad it went here. Okay, let's remove some of the issues that you could potentially have, or I think would definitely have, with Westbrook in terms of the style of play he has, right, his weaknesses, whatever. Just the mechanics of the trade to make it happen with everything the Lakers would have to give up just to make the salaries match.
Right. It sounds crazy because he makes a lot of money, right? However, it's really like if Trez opts in and you do Kyle Kuzma and KCP, you're pretty much there. And so now you could go about it different ways. Like if the Wizards are trading Russell Westbrook, this is our supposition, then is Beal gone or are they still trying to compete? And are they the team that signs and trades for Dennis Schroeder? Because that makes a lot of sense in the sense of,
it's especially useful if you want to start a riot.
At least if you're the Wizards, you have a young point guard who's a capable point guard who is, Laker fans may not look at him as the best, and I don't think anyone in the league looks at him as the best, but I think his value is anywhere from he's a really very solid starter to he's a very good bench player.
He's a great bench player. He should be a bench player.
I think, but, like the Wizards are sort of in a place where, they're not going to be the fourth best team in the East anytime soon with Beal. And so if Beal is moving on at some point, then getting out of Westbrook and locking in a new batch of players.
Sure. I think the Lakers could theoretically get Westbrook without gutting the team, like to a point where they're so top heavy, Westbrook wouldn't make a difference.
Well, so you don't have a hard cap with Westbrook. So there's no, you're not limited in that you can pay Alex Caruso if everybody agrees.
You can keep Caruso. You can keep
you can keep Taylor Horn Tucker.
How much you want to spend, and you can still use your exception. And then the other, let's if you go 3-for-1, you just have to fill those with minimum.
Right, and look, LeBron is great. Like you probably, if you need to replace, I don't think Otto Porter Jr. is coming for $6 million. There are very few wings. And they could use a bigger wing. And Kuzma, whether you like him or not, if he's gone to Washington in this theoretical thing, then you need to replace you need a wing defender. And maybe that's McKinney, but he's still very young and unproven. And that would be where you would need to replace. You still need a center, I think, because you're probably needing to replace Drummond. And we're not going to get into should AD play center because that'll just upset everybody. that's a whole nother heated can of worms. I think I mixed a metaphor, but anyway, so Dennis Schroeder in theory, or you basically have KCP, you have Kuzma, you have Trez. if you do Dennis in a sign and trade, that changes those three pieces. Now, if you do Talen Horton Tucker in there, that changes things. If you do Alex Caruso in there, it changes things. Now, the Wizards would have a hard cap. I don't think that's as problematic for them because of where they're at than it is for the Lakers, because the Lakers have LeBron and AD.
All the
and,
crappy players they have left don't make very
well,
much
well, they have
money.
No players left at all. That's the thing.
Right.
But I don't think, like, you can keep Wes Matthews. You can keep Markieff Morris. You can keep a lot of the roster. Add one or two pieces. You can get, you know, Eric Bledsoe manned up a free agent. He's on Clutch. I'm not saying he's the right guy, but anytime you go down the list, you say, is he on Clutch? And you say yes. And so if Corey Joseph gets cut loose from the Pistons, hey, he's on Clutch. He's a possibility joining the Lakers, right? So, you know, it, little things like that are where you go. So, like, I don't know the answers. What's great is that we're going to know the answers in a matter of, like, two, three days for the draft, and then a handful of days more, we'll start to get the answers. But teams have to make decisions now. Like, this timeline's all sped up because of where we are with the schedule.
Right.
We're going to know the answers. We may know the answers by the time viewers are even watching this. You know, we may already have some answers.
Well, I hope not.
Let me. We won't have to wait that long. We're really, really hoping they start even watching.
Yeah, I'm hoping too.
But yeah, I mean, maybe your schedule. So along those lines, like, you know, you talk about where it's sort of this gutting of the team or whatever, and Westbrook keeping them, you know, off that hard cap. If they bring in a player in a sign and trade, that triggers the hard cap, as you've talked about, as we've talked about on the show. Can you kind of break down what that would mean? Like, if you want Kyle Lowry in a sign and trade, if you want DeMar DeRozan or whatever it might be, if the Lakers are triggered by, you know, trigger that hard cap, what, from a practical standpoint, does that mean for THT, for Caruso, for anything else that they might want to do?
So I did run a scenario.
This, by the way, is a question from WGM at what gets you mad. So thanks for sending that in.
Thank you. I have one scenario I ran the other day, which was like LeBron, AD, DeMar DeRozan at $15 million for Kuzma, Lowry for some combination that pays him $15 million. Obviously, hearing that he wants $30 million probably means this is prohibitive. But this is
maybe he means Canadian.
And then I have THT at 8.4, Alex Caruso at 8.4, keeping McKinney, paying Markieff and Wes, a Corey Joseph type minimum player. He's technically under contract with Detroit, but let's say they cut him because he's not fully guaranteed. Yada yada yada. And then Marc Gasol. And then three more vet mins, and they have the middle level. They don't use it. That's 142.8. So basically, you're under the hard cap with 14 players. You've got DeMar DeRozan and Lowry at 15 each. You've got Caruso and THT at about 8.5 roughly each. And then everybody else is more or less the minimum. So, like, is that a great – you can't use your mid-level. You're hamstrung, but at the same time, you also added DeMar DeRozan and Lowry and kept two, you know, your two main guards. But the problem there is Lowry wants $30 million from what my intel is, and I believe that to be accurate.
But if it's not crazy to do like DeRozan at a 15, which probably is a little bit more realistic based on what he's been saying, and still have an opportunity to pay THT, Caruso, those guys, something reasonable near market value. You're not automatically gutting your team committing to a sign and trade in that way, which the really important thing I was sort of trying to get.
So, like, I have $15 million going to Lowry. Let's say that let's say it was like number 22 pick and KCP brought you Lowry. I'm making that up. But if it's not Lowry, maybe whatever else they bring back for KCP. And that pick that is getting $15 million. Or maybe they just trade those two KCP to the Thunder for the first. You know, they give the first dump KCP. Now you can use your mid-level of about $10 million, but you're still under the cap. You could sign a 15th player, but you're really limited. That's the general point is the Lakers can operate within a hard cap. I'll throw in this. It might be an advantage for Jeannie Buss for the team to trigger hard cap, because it forces them to stay within a reasonable budget. Like if you paid $150 million last year and $150 million the year before that, you won a title, you got hurt. Are you now going to pay $200 to $240, $250 million to try for the third time. Is that reasonable to ask of the Lakers? And of course, the fans will say, of course it is. But if you're Jeannie Buss and the Buss family and you own the team, it might be better for them to trigger hard cap, force Rob Pelinka to do that, to stay within it, and right. to make it work. And that means there's no, you know, there's no...
It is less limiting, Andy. I think than we had talked about. That's
good to know, because a lot of this, even for people like Brian and I, who I think are reasonably up on how the cap works, this stuff starts the further you get into the weeds.
I don't know the rules, Andy. If there's a lot of adding,
there's a lot. I mean, there's just a lot. Yeah. Period. Tyler Phoebe asks us, and we don't need to get into the weeds of how it would happen, but just could it happen? Because we were talking about signing trades for Lowry that wouldn't necessarily become completely prohibitive. Could the Lakers trade for Lowry, some type of sign and trade deal, and then be available to sign DeMar DeRozan with some type of exception, so you could have the reunion of the Toronto backcourt and the besties who want to be together so badly, and both of them at least have reported interest with the Lakers? Is that technically possible?
Right. So you would use the mid-level of $9 million to, say, sign DeMar DeRozan, and then you trade other pieces to get Lowry. And let's say Lowry was $20 million. Well, so I have DeMar DeRozan in my scenario at $15 million, and if you slide over, let's slide over $5 million, and Lowry's getting $20 million and DeMar's getting $10 million.
They work it out between themselves, like the Morris twins used to be.
As we've talked about, LeBron makes up the difference. LeBron.
You still have to potentially trade Kuzma and KCP to get out of the money.
But so there's a street legal way to do this, is what
right. And in that scenario, I have THT and Alex Crusoe back at 8-4. But you know, Alex might get more money.
This is a hell of a team. You know, so you like this team.
So you know, like there are other names. One other name that's been popping up is like Buddy Hield. And again, like Buddy is expensive. He's not hard cap creating. If you trade some combination of two players out of KCP, Kuzma, and Trez. You don't have to trade all three. You could, you know, but whatever. Let's say you trade two of those three. Now there's no hard cap. So when you say the Lowrys, the Dinwiddies, the free agents, the Lonzo Balls, that's where we get into trouble because of a hard cap, and that's limiting, unless that's what Jeannie Buss wants and the Buss family wants. Yeah. If they're willing to spend to a certain level, then they're better off going after people who are under contract who don't trigger that hard cap. And you still have $6 million to spend in that mid-level instead of 9.5.
Okay, as long as we're just blowing through these, we might as well. Jose Luis Malero asks, if Lonzo accepts the qualifying offer, the Pels, and the Lakers trade for him, does that count as a sign-and-trade relative to the hard cap? I would think no, because he's taking an offer and he's under contract. But there are rules about when he could be traded, correct?
Right. So the question I get a lot is, like, the other team, like, signs the player and has the player, but then they trade him to the Lakers. So it's not a sign and trade because they sign and then trade him. So it's obviously a sign and trade. Like it doesn't make sense. So the way it works is that you have like a 48-hour period to you sign the player with the intention of trading them. There's an exhibit you in the contract that says that if you're not traded to this team within like 48 hours, the contract's void. But in the case of Lonzo, or any other player in this instance, if they sign him for a year or any length of time, that player can't be traded for a certain period. So a free agent, non-draft pick, like Lonzo Ball, if they signed him, he couldn't be traded in his case until January 15th. In some cases, it's December 15th. Most cases, it's one or the other, but it's not tomorrow. It's not before the season. And then in the case, right. And then in the case of, like, if Lonzo took his qualifying offer, that's even worse, because then when he's traded, his rights don't go with him. So then the Lakers wouldn't be able to pay him the next year the money he would want. So you would
The NBA basically thought of this loophole and made it very
Lonzo, like, so this is what you would do with Dennis, is if the Lakers can't get something better in their minds and say, okay, we'll re-sign Dennis and we'll trade him later. The later would be after January 15th in his case. Okay. Maybe December 15th, depends on how big of a raise he gets. And in the case of Lonzo, same thing. But if it's a qualifying offer, it's even worse. So that's kind of like a
yeah. All right. It's like a, last thing for you, and then we'll let you go. This is one of these deals where it's kind of an interesting question to ask somebody like you, and it comes from Miles Politich. Apologies for mispronouncing your name, which I'm sure I'm doing. What is one change you would make in the CBA to make it better? Doesn't matter if it benefits the players or owners, but there has to be something you would want to change or improve. If you could fix one thing in the CBA, right. What would it be?
I would have to think about like the one thing. I could say I know there's one rule that I don't like is that you can't give a player a market value extension. The basic like rookies, you can't offer your rookie scale. So like anyone who was drafted in the first round, you can sign them to a contract that literally says max. And whatever the max is that summer, that's what they'll get. But that only works in that case. It does work in Supermax, but in normal extensions. So in the case of Utah, when they wanted to extend Gordon Hayward and he was open to an extension, they legally couldn't pay it to him at market value. And you go down case by case of players who would love, you know, I know that Zach LaVine would take an extension. Well, if they offered him a lucrative extension, he'd probably take it. But they can't without doing funky stuff like renegotiate all kinds of stuff. They need cap room, all that. So it would be nice if you can give the player who wants to stay the money that they should get, the market rate. You should be able to say, okay, here's a max extension, but it's limited to 120%. It used to be 115%. They fixed it by making it 120%, but it's still below the market value. So your player's forced into free agency. And once they're in free agency, now they're a flight risk. Right. And you might lose a player who would otherwise happily so resign.
It's a good it'd be a good mechanism for keeping players in their own market who want to be there. There are
plenty of other things we can get into, I'm sure, if we like really thought about it.
But I would personally, it's another conversation for another day, but I would personally make it so the max contracts don't count fully against the cap, just so you can actually have a certain amount of flexibility while actually trying to get those stars and build around those stars.
Right. The main issue with that is the economic, the league basically splits the money, right? Like it's the players get half the money that comes in and the league keeps the teams keep half the money. And if there's money that isn't counted towards the cap, then you would probably have to lower the cap to make sure that the players don't get too much. Otherwise it gets out of balance. So a lot of those mechanisms are in there to make sure that, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of the year, there's a good 50-50 split. And that's really hard to do, but there's merit to what you're saying. It would
blockchain.
It would have to be accompanied with additional remedies to make sure that didn't throw.
No, but that is a good point.
You don't want to make those contracts too prohibitive for everybody involved or start turning them into deterrents, you know, all that sort of thing. Like there should be a reward for being able to get one of those guys there without having become crippling for your team or also be without that player starting to be seen as an albatross for reasons that aren't his own fault. That's all I'm getting at.
Right. Fair.
Eric Pincus, you read him on Bleacher Report and at Basketball Insiders. You can go learn from him at the Sports Business Classroom, www.sportsbusinessclassroom.com. Triple W, as they say.
He is also, according to OG Laker Dana, at Lakers Dana, quote, a sex god rock star. That's what he was referred to.
Well, I mean, Lakers Dana. That's on my business card. So,
that's how you get all these books.
Also, his burner account. thanks for introducing us, man.
Ever see anybody named Sex God Rock Star arguing with Kevin Durant on Twitter? You know who it is. You know that. Appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it, guys. I will be at Summer League. That's where we'll be teaching our next Sports Business Classroom in person at Summer League. So check that out if you're interested in getting into the business of basketball. I don't know if you gentlemen will be there, but if not, I will see you over at the Staples Center or at the Lakers practice facility soon enough.
Yeah, sounds good. See you soon.
All right, guys. See you, man.